Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we so much desire that your Spirit be here with us. You have promised it. And as the song that was played, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how we love Jesus. We're thankful for his example. We're thankful for his gift. Come, Holy Spirit, join us while we praise God's name. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
We talk a lot about bread. Jesus used the idea of bread to illustrate many of his teachings. Just by coincidence, I have in my pocket some bread. I've got two kinds here. This kind and this kind. What's the difference between these two kinds of bread?
One is a loaf of bread and one is a cracker.
All right, a loaf of bread and a cracker. And this kind of bread, the loaf kind, Jesus would call leavened bread. And this kind, the cracker, he might have called unleavened bread. So, are these two kinds of bread alike? No. What's the difference between these two kinds of bread?
One's hard and one's softer.
Oh, one's hard and one's softer. I can bend this delicious loaf, Carol Marshall's bread. If I try to bend this, what's going to happen? I need a volunteer.
It's going to break in
half. All right, give that a try.
Yeah, you heard that crunch in the back?
That crunch came through. All right. These two types of bread start out pretty much the same. They both have water. They both have flour. They both have salt. They're both baked in an oven. So how do these two things that are quite different, that have a lot of the same ingredients, end up being so different? Two things. One is leavening, what we'd probably call nowadays yeast. That makes the bread light and makes it puff up. And the other is time for the yeast to work. You have to let the yeast work. When Jesus was explaining what the kingdom of God was like, he talked about its being like some flour into which leavening was mixed. And that turned that hard cracker, when it was left alone, into some delicious bread. And the Spirit of God will work in us to make us wonderful. And a lot of the times it does its work on the inside when we can't see it. But when we let the Spirit of God work in us, it makes us a staff of life. And that's a wonderful thing. But you got to be careful, too, because Jesus also talked about some bad yeast. If you used bad leavening, it could make you even worse, and you might have to throw out the bread because it would be even worse than a cracker. So as you go in your lives, make sure you let the Spirit of God work within you. Give it time, and it will turn you into beautiful, strong in the staff of life. Can we say a prayer? Jesus, please help the Spirit of God work in these children and in everyone here to make us all wonderful, helpful parts of the kingdom of God. In your name we pray. Amen.
PowerPoint. Thursday night, I gave a PowerPoint presentation on John Calvin. He's a 15th century reformer who lived in Geneva, which later became Geneva, Switzerland. And he had great impact upon Christianity as we know and practice it today. But I needed some help with PowerPoint since I could not get it to do what I needed it to do. Ronnie Arts had already shown me how to do some of the steps. The pastor had sent me an outline and background used to put the text on. And Ronnie had sent me information that he had gleaned from the internet. After several days of gathering information and trying to set up the PowerPoint, I was ready for Ronnie to make it work as an effective PowerPoint presentation. So I get in my car, go over to Ronnie's, walk up the steps, walk up to his front door, two cats and one dog later. The dog, I didn't even need the doorbell. The dog took care of that for me. And so anyway, he invites me in. I take off my shoes. I head for the table with my laptop in tow and put it out on the table. He plugs it in for me, and we're sitting side by side. He brings his up right beside me. And then Ronnie takes his stick and puts it into my computer. He pushes some keys, and the lights blink on the stick, and then he places it into his computer, pushes more keys, and there is my information on his computer. A few more moments, and the mouse click here and there, and voila, the presentation is ready. Meanwhile, I am lost in the rapid movement of fingers, clicking of the mouse right and left, and the rapid changing scene that seems to be happening before my eyes. "How did you do that?" I asked. He proceeds to show me in slow motion. I realize very quickly that I must do this myself, or I will not remember how to do it. Communion. What's this got to do with communion? Communion is both remembering and doing the activity in order to have the full experience and to remember Christ's wonderful sacrifice for each one of us. I desire the full blessings of his wonderful service. Let us bow our heads. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we so much desire that your Spirit be here with us, that you will subdue our hearts, that you will bring to memory those wonderful blessings which you have given to each one of us, that you will bring to our minds the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ on the Calvary, that through him that we have eternal life. And this communion also reminds us of his second coming as well. Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John, the 13th chapter. Verses 12 through 15, and follow along if you would. Now we have to remember the setting for this is in the upper room. You've got disciples who are vying for being the first and the greatest in the new kingdom that they're sure that Christ is going to put up, start out with. And yet, what does he do? He washes their feet. And so, starting in verse 12. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.'" We are here today to remember Jesus' gift on the cross by remembering the emblems of the blood and the wine and doing the feet washing. He specifically designed the feet washing and the partaking of the bread and the cup as an agent to help us remember him, to make it more memorable. We need to do it as he did it. We remember best when we combine it with action. The doing helps us remember. Let us turn now to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 23 through 26. These are texts which all of you know. You've heard them many, many times during communion services. But we're just going to go over them a little bit. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And you notice two things here. One of them is the Lord's death, that you and I might have eternal life. Also, he reminds us that he's coming again, that we can be there where he is. Christ at this time is standing at the point of transition between two great festivals. He is the spotless Lamb of God. He is about to present himself as a sin offering. He would bring an end to the systems of types and ceremonies. The Passover was ordained to commemorate the deliverance of Israel from Egypt bondage. And you remember that during that particular time that the people, the Israelites, those who followed what Christ had said, they ate the Passover standing. They had their staffs in their hands. They were ready to go. This time they knew they were going for sure. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper was given to commemorate the great deliverance from sin and death. This is especially for you and for me. It's an awesome gift. It's eternal life. Jesus gave everything on Calvary. Do we remember Jesus? And do we do the part that the disciples were loath to do? And you remember they did not want to wash each other's feet. Pastor Daniel J. Gettings tells a story. This story is about a couple. They had a very good marriage. They loved each other very much. And they had a little girl, a beautiful little girl, who they loved very, very much. But unfortunately, a tragedy took place, and she was killed. The loss was devastating to them. It seemed to destroy the entire happiness in their home. Their hearts were grieved. As time passed, the husband and the wife grew apart. Their love for each other just wasn't the same anymore. Finally, they grew cool toward each other. Finally, there was bitterness which came into their lives. And as you might expect, they agreed to separate. And finally, that ended up that they decided that they would divorce. One day, as they were in their home, and they were trying to go over the various items that they had accumulated over the years of their marriage, they got tired, and they sat down for a moment to rest. their eyes chanced to fall upon a pair of little red shoes. A pair of little red shoes, which had belonged to their little daughter, their little girl that they loved so much. This reminder of their precious daughter softened their hearts. Before long, they were weeping in tenderness. God convicted them that divorce was a mistake. They got back together. The marriage was saved. That little reminder, the little red shoes seemed to be the turning point in their lives. Fellow church members, visitors, I so much desire that this service be a turning point in our lives, in your lives, in my life. This is just like a little pair of red shoes reminding the parents of happier days. This service is designed by Jesus himself to help us to remember what he did for you and for me. As we enter into this service, we need to contemplate Jesus. We need to think upon him, his wonderful gift, his wonderful life, and what he has done for you and what he has done for me. Let us bring this reminder of him, our Savior, deep into our hearts. As David will be playing some songs on Jesus, think on Jesus and his love. Think on your blessings. Jesus said this, "Do this in remembrance of me." Today, as we enter into the contemplation of Jesus, let us remember, let this be a reminder of him. Bring back those deeper experiences that you have had with your Savior. Think on these things. Let this be a turning point in your life. If you have drifted away, come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. Remember what he has done for you. Remember what he has done for you. Give him your heart. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. You know, Jesus is a very special person. It's unique that he established the communion service, the Lord's Supper, to help us remember him. What a beautiful thing he did. As we celebrate this service in just a few moments, as we separate for the ordinances of the foot washing that we do in this church, we do the foot washing because he said, "I set you an example, that if you do as I have done to you, you will be blessed. You will be happy." And so we partake of the foot washing service. And as we reassemble back into this sanctuary for the Lord's Supper, for the bread and for the cup, this will be a real blessing for each one of us. Now what I'll be doing here, I'll be reading to you from the Desire of Ages, pages 660 and 661. And Sister White writes this. Listen carefully. Jesus declares that whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. It is by receiving the life for us poured out on Calvary's cross that we can live a life of holiness. And this life we receive by receiving his word, by doing those things which he has commanded. Thus we become one with him. Jesus says, and we've already read this in one sense, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." And this is taken from John 6, 54, 56, and 57. To the Holy Communion, this scripture is especially applies. As faith contemplates our Lord's great sacrifice, the soul assimilates the spiritual life of Christ. As faith contemplates the Lord's great sacrifice, the soul assimilates the spiritual life of Christ. That soul will receive a spiritual strength from every communion. Therefore, we shouldn't miss any, should we? The service forms a living connection by which the believer is bound up with Christ and thus bound up with the Father. In a special sense, it forms a connection between the dependent human being and God. As we receive the bread and the wine symbolizing Christ's broken body and spilled blood, we in imagination join the scene of the communion in the upper room. We seem to be passing through the garden consecrated by the agony of him who bore the sins of the world. We witness the struggle by which our reconciliation with God was obtained. Christ is set forth, crucified among us. Looking upon the crucified Redeemer, we more fully comprehend the magnitude and the meaning of the sacrifice made by the majesty of heaven. The plan of salvation is glorified before us, and the thought of Calvary awakens a living and sacred emotions in our hearts. Praise to God and to the Lamb will be in our hearts and on our lips, for pride and self-worship cannot flourish in the soul that keeps fresh the memory of the scene of Calvary. He who beholds the Savior's matchless love will be elevated in thought, purified in heart, transformed in character. He will go forth as a light to the world to reflect to some degree this mysterious love. The more we contemplate the cross of Christ, the more fully shall we adopt the language of the Apostle Paul when he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Galatians 6:14. I did change the reading a little bit because of putting it in the new King James Version. Communion. What a blessing. What a blessing communion is. Also another blessing that we all have, and this is, again, our own participation. At this time, I would like those of you that would like to, as the Spirit moves you, to have a testimony period. I would also like to mention to everyone here in the church is that the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church and Seventh-day Adventist Church as a whole practice open communion. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, join us. If you don't, study, because Jesus loves you.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.